the seventh chapter of the first canto. And last week we read about how Vyasadeva basically in hearing, when you say that we have to surrender to the process of hearing, means also that we have to act on what we have heard. So we say Vyasadeva is acting on what he has heard. And then we see that when he meditates, he sees the three verses describing what he sees. And he sees how the material energy is fully under the Lord's control. And but the living entity, because of this material energy, external energy, thinks itself to be a product of matter and forgets its identity as spirit soul, loving servant of Krishna. But it starts thinking, I'm this body, I'm this owner of the house, I'm the mom, I'm the dad, I'm this particular employee and so company. So then nobody, when you ask somebody who are you, they don't say I'm spirit soul, with Krishna. They usually say, that, you know, I work at this company and, you know, I belong to this country and this is my mother tongue and so many things. So because of this external energy, the living entity thinks like that, but Vyasadeva sees that this external energy is under the Lord's control. So the way for us to get out of this is to surrender unto the Lord. Because Maya, we are under Maya's control, but Maya is under Krishna's control. So we surrender to Krishna and we are out of this. So when Vyasadeva sees all this, we also discussed last time that he's not like, oh, look at these people. You know, they are fools, they have all this knowledge, but they are not doing anything about it. No, he feels the compassion for them. And he thinks about how I can help them. And therefore he writes all this nice Vedic literature. Right? So he understands that if people, in text 7 he says that this mass of the people, so we give all reception to the Vedic literature, which is about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and his pastimes, and the pastimes of his devotees, then they will, all this fire of lamentation, illusion, fearfulness, everything will go away, and they will be rightly situated in their eternal identity as servant of Krishna. So he sees that, and that's why he compiles a great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are all getting an opportunity to read because of Srila Prabhupada, who translated all these Sanskrit verses very painstakingly into English, and he wrote very elaborate purports for all of us at the ripe age of 70 in his life, to the extent that Prabhupada used to sleep and wake up at 2 a.m. every night and then keep translating the Srimad Bhagavatam so that all the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam could be translated in his lifetime. Of course, there were a few left, but that was completed after his departure by some of his disciples. So Srimad Prabhupada also has that same compassionate mood as Vyasadeva. He is seeing the people suffer. He saw that the only way these people can come to this is where the process of hearing and chanting and the process of giving oral reception to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by meditating on Krishna and his pastimes and things related to him. So that's why whatever services we do is related to Krishna. So we meditate on our service. So how to do it? When you're meditating on Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada had the same mood as the Acharya. Like, I had to write an essay on the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as a part of my studies. And the essence of the essays is comparing the mood and mood of compassion of all these great personalities, you know, Rishis and Nemi Sharanya, Sutta Goswami, Sukadev Goswami, Shanaka Rishi, then Vedavyas, Narad Muni, and comparing and contrasting that with the mood of the Acharyas, the more contemporary Acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and how they have the same mood of compassion, and because of their compassion we are able to grow in our Krishna consciousness. So I think I wrote that essay halfway. I have to finish it and submit it before January 30th so that my teacher is happy with me. He's not happy with us right now because we didn't turn in the assignment on time. So we can't do that. Anyway, so the same mode of compassion and the same mode of compassion that Srila Prabhupada has, because of which we are getting the benefit. If Prabhupada had not painstakingly come to the US, had not painstakingly written these literatures, had not done so much to establish so many temples, just imagine what our spiritual life would have been. If no temple, no books, no devotees, no prasad, no deities. I mean, there will be something, but not to the extent to which we have right now. We will not know how to connect. Yesterday one lady called me. She used to be in Issaquah before. Now she moved to Connecticut. And then she mentioned that, you know, she's missing the temple very much. She's not in Connecticut. So she she's mentioned that she's missing the temple very much, and this vibrant temple, she's missing it a lot. Mm-hmm. Because where she lives, there is not any temple. And even if there is a temple, then, as in her words, she said, it's not a live temple. There are a lot of people doing service, engaging in volunteering, engaging in service to Krishna, classes, dancing, feasting, so many things happening. So she was sharing that. So here we are discussing that. And then we discussed how Sharaka Rishi asks, you know, that the great sage Vyasadeva compiles it and then he advises it and he teaches it to his own son. So Sharaka Rishi asks this nice question, why did Vyasadeva, you know, why did Shukadev Goswami read all this? Why did he take the trouble to read all this? Because he was already an Atmaram. So then Shukadev Goswami chants this very beautiful shloka, Atmaramashtamadayo. So he said that no, the qualities of the Lord are so attractive because of which even the Atmaramas are very, very attracted. So we thought we will read the purport, but I think I'll just give an essence of the purport. And the essence is that basically the 10th verse that we read, this Atmaramashtamarayo, Nirvanti Apyurukhame, Kurvanti Haidukim Bhakti, Nittam Bhuta Gunahari. So this particular verse was explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented 18 different meanings of this 10th verse that we read last time to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an impersonalist. But when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving him 18 different meanings of this thing to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was like the Pandit of Jagannath Puri, of the kingdom of Orissa, he was like the highest, most learned person. When he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving 18 meanings to this particular shloka, then he was struck with awe and wonder, and he understood that Mahaprabhu was definitely the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because only the Lord can explain this verse like that. So, later on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again, this particular verse, he gave extensive additional meanings to this text to Sanatana Goswami. But the essence basically that we need to understand is that even those who are already self-satisfied, having realized themselves as souls and been situated to the eternality of their existence, I'm reading from Gurujan Prabhu's notes, become attracted to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the Lord's fully spiritual form qualities are Ashtanga, all attractive. So here, Sukadev Goswami wanted to submit himself to the hearing of the pastimes of the Lord because they were so attractive, right? Because Sukadev was very transcendentally powerful and he became a very dear to the devotees. After he started, he became a Vaishnava by hearing all of these different pastimes of the Lord. So the point is that we must also try to cultivate the same intensity for hearing the message of the Lord that Sukadev Goswami had, even if he was self-satisfied. He was transcendently very powerful. He still went and did this. So we also have to cultivate that eagerness, that urge to hear. Why? Because as we read every time before in the chanting of the prayers, for one who has developed an urge to hear this message, Lord Sri Krishna personally cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from their hearts. So, we want to develop that urge. We want to be attracted to the all-attractive. I know we are self-satisfied in this material nature. But Sukadev Goswami was, even in spite of being self-satisfied in the spiritual realm, he was attracted to the pastime of the Lord. So, but to speak about us, much lower beings than Sukadev Goswami. So, we have to develop this particular thing. So, text 12. Now we'll read from text 12. You all can open to chapter view. So you can read. You don't have to click each time to get to the next verse. It all comes up in one page. Yeah, before we read text 12, sorry, not text 12. It's supposed to be text 11, but before we read that, in text 10, the last paragraph of the purport, by his personal features and transcendental attributes, the Lord attracts all psychological activities of a pure devotee. Such is the attractive power of Lord Sri Krishna. The attraction is so powerful that a pure devotee never hankers for any of the four principles of religion. These are the attractive features of the transcendental attributes of the Lord. So even we find ourselves being very attracted to the temple. Sometimes when we see somebody is very morose and very dull outside world, we say, no, come to the temple, it's a very happy place. Everyone is dancing around. Because temple is basically what? It's a place of Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. So then when you come to the temple, you feel that attraction. Even if you may not attribute it to the person, Lord Sri Krishna, but you will feel that something is attracting your heart. So that is how the Lord attracts all the psychological activities of a pure devotee. Excellent. Harir gunakshitchitta matir bhagavan madanayani adhyagan maharakhyanam nityam vishnu janapriyaha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami, son of Shri Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavat. So again, like the third paragraph, maybe the middle paragraph, the synopsis. The idea is that generally the liberated souls are attached to the feature of impersonal Brahman, which, as Anupriti had asked the question and we discussed, they are more attracted to the Brahma Jyoti, with a monistic view of becoming one with the Supreme Whole. But by the association of pure devotees like Vyasadeva, even the liberated soul becomes attracted to the transcendental qualities of the Lord. By the mercy of Sri Narada, Sri Vyasadeva was able to narrate the great epic of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the mercy of Vyasadeva, Sri Sukadeva Goswami was able to grasp the import. The transcendental qualities of the Lord are so attractive that Sri Sukadeva Goswami became detached from being completely absorbed in impersonal Brahman and positively took up the personal activity of the Lord. So he became detached from that and he took the service of the Lord. There is some more story. About Sukadeva Goswami that you all can read in that last paragraph, text 12. Parikshitotha Rajarshe Janma Karma Vilapanam Samsam Chapandu Putranam Vakshi Krishna Kathodayam Krishna Kathodayam. Sukadeva Goswami thus addressed the rishis headed by Shalaka. Now I shall begin the transcendental narration of Lord Sri Krishna and topics of the birth, activities and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage amongst the kings, as well as topics of the renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu. Because the sages had asked a question in the fourth chapter about Maharaj Parikshit, why did he do that, whatever he did? Why did he choose to hear for 7 days and 7 nights? Why did that all that happen? So this is there, here. And Prabhupada in the purport is stressing that now, as I also wrote in my email, like it's really like the entry of Lord Sri Krishna is going to happen right now. As you can see, Sukadeva Goswami is now wanting to immediately start speaking about the Lord. He doesn't want to wait for any long time. And he is now speaking Krishna Kathodayam. So Sukadeva Goswami is now going to speak about Lord Sri Krishna. And the point here is that he is answering this thing because again all the sages wanted to hear about the devotee of the Lord. So again, just like we discussed last time, that Shaunak Rishi was very eager to hear what Vedyas did after hearing from Narad Muni. So similarly, all the sages headed by Shaunak Rishi were also eager to hear about Parikshit Maharaj. Not for any other reason, but to really want to know the activities of a devotee and how they engage their lives, their thoughts and their body and their mind and their words in the service of the Lord. How do they practice all of these things so that it can be an inspiration and example for all of us? So this is going to talk about that now. And then Prabhupada is explaining that, we have to read these activities, all that is being described here about the Lord, about the devotees of the Lord, up to the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10th canto is all about the intimate dealings of Krishna with his devotees in Vrindavan. But to understand that, to understand who Krishna is, And to understand all those dealings properly in the 10th canto, we have to read the first 9 cantos properly. Why? Because two things happen. One thing is, we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead more clearly. We understand that He is the creator, proprietor, enjoyer, destroyer, controller. He is doing all of these things, and how He is doing the creation, that itself is described in the 2nd and 3rd canto in so much detail. How the different planetary systems have been created in the 5th canto. First of all, why do you have to read all that? But when we read all that, we realize that Krishna has created this entire material world, but He is so beyond it. He is completely unattached by it. He has only created it for us. So when we read about His intimate dealings in the 10th canto, and we understand actually He is self-satisfied, He doesn't need any kind of material enjoyment the way we need it. So then we are able to understand it in perspective. The second thing is, when we read the 9 cantos very carefully, then we are associating with these very topmost devotees of the Lord. Like right from Shaunaka Rishi, Sutta Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami, Narad Muni, Veda Vyas, the Pandu Putras, Arjuna, then all these women devotees like Kunti Devi, Draupadi, then we are associating with Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, we are hearing about the qualities of Lord Shiva, we are hearing about the qualities of Lord Brahma, His simplicity, His humility in spite of being the secondary creator. Then we are reading about Ranti Dev, we are reading about Bali Maharaj, we are reading about Prahlad Maharaj, we are reading about Gajendra, we are reading about so many of these wonderful devotees, Mitrasura. So the idea is that when we read about these wonderful devotees up to the 9th canto, then we try to see their qualities. Every pastime we see, we try to see, oh wow, what a quality this devotee has. Wow, if I was in this situation, I would have not behaved like that. But this devotee is behaving like that by virtue of his surrender to the Lord. So then we are able to appreciate their qualities, and basically gradually we want to become like them. Once we become like them, we are qualified to read the 10th canto. So that's why we read in sequence, and we all are reading in sequence. Yes. So now we will hear, first time in this narration of the Bhagavatam, we will see Lord Sri Krishna in action. So far we have heard about His glory spoken to us as the sixth person, Satyam Param, where He is defined as the absolute truth. Then we also saw about the potency of the performance of devotional service, right? That only by when you perform bhakti, automatically you get causeless knowledge and material detachment automatically follows. You don't have to endeavor for it. So we discussed, wow, when we serve this great Satyam Param, then this is the result we get. Right? Then we also heard He is so supremely attractive. In the 10th verse itself, we read Atma Ramas Chamunayo, Nirgranthi Upasthi Urukrame. We read that even the Atma Ramas, the self-satisfied monists, meditating on the Vipassana Brahman, even they come out of that and they are attracted to the Lord. So the Lord is so attractive. And He is a supreme controller, proprietor, enjoyer, destroyer, His Adi Purush, is everything, right? Cause of all causes. So, now, what does such a person do? What are the activities of such a person? So now we will see, as Gurudev Guru writes in his book, we see that this great personality, his first entry in Srimad Bhagavatam, is where he is serving his devotee. And we will see how. Text 13 and 14. Yadam Vivekaravasinjayanam Vireshvato Viragatimrateshu Vrikodara Vidhagadavimarsha Vagnoru Dande Dhritarashtraputre Bhartu Priyam Niriti Smapashyan Krishna Sutanam Svatatam Siramse Upaharas Vipriyam Yavivatasya Jugutsitam Karma Vigarahayanti. So now we see the war has just ended. Right? And the scene is the war of Mahabharata has just ended. So the translation, when the respective warriors of both camps, namely the Kauravas and the Pandavas, were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the dead warriors obtained their desired destination, and when the son of Dhritarashtra fell down lamenting, his spine broken, being beaten by the club of Bhimasen, the son of Dronacharya, beheaded the 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi and delivered the heads as a prize to his master, foolishly thinking that he would be pleased. Duryodhan, however, disapproved of the heinous act, and he was not pleased in the least. see, you know, this is what has happened. The war is over. Dhritarashtra is lamenting Duryodhana is lamenting. And now Dronacharya was killed in the battle because of the confusion of the name of the elephant named Ashwatthama or his son Ashwatthama. When he heard that Ashwatthama was dead, he thought that his son was dead. He became very powerless, and immediately then the Pandavas took the opportunity and they killed him. So Ashwatthama wanted to take revenge, right? Now what Ashwatthama did is the son of Draupadi was sleeping in the night. The war is already over, but Ashwatthama goes and kills him. And this is how the modern warfare happens. The warfare that used to happen at that time, even if person was enemy, but they only fought during the time the war was there. They did not fight outside of the designated time. They only fought between the conch shell blowing and the conch shell blowing to announce that the war has begun, and the conch shell again blows to announce the war is ended. But Ashwatthama, because he was raging inside, he could not tolerate what he was feeling inside. So he could not tolerate his urges to respond to situations in a non-Krishna conscious way. He goes and kills the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. So according to four codes, that is wrong. Kshatriya codes, that is wrong. But Ashwatthama went and did that. So this particular Ashwatthama that we are talking about right now is there in every person in this particular material world, where we are ready to break all the rules if we feel we are not being treated properly. When we are not treated properly, we can do anything to anybody. I feel that potential in myself at times, and I feel very ashamed of myself when I see that I can feel that I can do something like that when I may be wrong, because it my fallacy was too huge. So here we see that Ashwatthama has killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi, and over the next chapter we will learn so many lessons. Very amazing chapter. So text 15. Mata Shishunam Nidanam Sutanam Nishamya Goram Darita Tatyamana Tadarudagvashpakalakulakshi Tamshan Sandavyan Vayannaha Kiritamale. Draupadi, the mother of the five children of the Pandavas, after hearing of the massacre of her son, began to cry in distress with eyes full of tears. Trying to pacify her in her great loss, Arjuna spoke to her thus. So the Pandavas are the greatest devotees of the Lord. Draupadi also, Lord Sri Krishna. But here you see, even they are suffering. So the greatness, when you become a great devotee of the Lord, it is not that the suffering ends. When you become a great devotee of the Lord, your response to suffering is different. Or rather, you become a great devotee of the Lord only because you are able to respond to suffering in a more pragmatic way. So now we will see how they respond to that. Amazing quality. Text 16. तदा शुचस्ते प्रमर्जामि भद्रे यद्ब्रह्म बन्धो शिरातकायिना गाण्डीवमुक्तैर्विशिखैरुपाहरे त्वाक्रम्य यत्स्नास्यसि दग्धपुत्रा. So, O gentle lady, when I present you, Arjuna speaking, with the head of that Brahmana, after beheading him with arrows from my Gandiva bow, I shall then wipe the tears from your eyes and pacify you. Then, after burning your son's bodies, you can take your bath standing on his head. So, puppet, an enemy who sets fire to the house, administers poison, attacks all of a sudden with deadly weapons, plunders wealth or usurps agricultural fields or entices one's wife, is called an aggressor. Such an aggressor, though he be a Brahmana or a so-called son of a Brahmana, has to be punished in all circumstances. As you see, he said, Brahma Bandho. Basically, he was born as a Brahmana, Ashwatthama was son of a Brahmana, but because he did not behave with the Brahmanical qualities, he was considered as a Brahmana Bandho. He was not considered as a Brahmana. So when Arjuna promised to behead the aggressor named Ashwatthama, he knew well that Ashwatthama was the son of a Brahmana, but because the so-called Brahmana acted like a butcher, he was taken as such. And there was no question of sin in killing such a Brahmana's son, who proved to be a villain. So that Arjuna is a Kshatriya, we have to understand this thing. And the job of a Kshatriya is to set law and order in a place. So if somebody is not acting lawfully, either to themselves or to anyone else in the city, in their country, in their kingdom, then the Kshatriya has to act. Now if we were in Arjuna's place, we see that, oh, this he could go and kill, so I will also kill. Because Ashwatthama did something wrong, so Arjuna is killing, I will also do that. No, it's not like that. Because we are not Kshatriyas. We can report to our authorities. We can report to the law and order people that, hey, you know, this happened wrong and you guys please take care of this. But we don't go back and we act like this. Because that is not our situation. We are Shudra. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he could act like that. Right? Text 17. And Arjuna also is acting like that based on the codes of religion. As Prabhupada has written, according to the codes of religion, these 5-6 different types of persons can be killed, are called as aggressors, and when you kill them, then there is nothing wrong with it. And you will see, I didn't need to be killed. Text 17. Iti priyam valdu vichitta jalpai prashantavyan vait Arjuna, who is guided by the infallible Lord as friend and driver, thus satisfies the dear lady by such statements. Then he dressed in armor and armed himself with furious weapons. And getting into his chariot, he set out to follow Ashwatthama, the son of his martial teacher. So who was his chariot driver? The infallible Lord. He was a friend and a driver. So this is how the Supreme Personality of God, this controller, proprietor, and driver, Satyam Param, the absolute truth. And when we engage in the devotional service of such a person, then automatically knowledge and detachment follow. And even the Atmaramas are attracted by him. This is how the Lord is with his devotees. Amazing. Such a great person. Huh? Text 18. Tamma patantam savilakshya durat kumaraho vignamanarathena paradravat prana parikshamunyam yavat gamam ruddhavayadyathakha. Ashwatthama, the murderer of the princess, seeing from a great distance Arjuna coming at him with great speed, fled in his chariot, panic-stricken, just to save his life as Brahma fled in Shiro Shiva. So here, Ashwatthama is very scared. He knows he did something wrong, and he also knows the might of Arjuna, and he also knows the might of the Pandavas, and he knows Lord Krishna is basically following him as Kala on that chariot. So he is very scared. Naturally. Text 19. Yada sharanam atmanam aikshata shantavadinam astram brahmo shiromene atmatranam vijatmajah. So when the son of the Brahmana, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired, he considered that there was no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, Brahmastra. Nuclear weapon. So, Prabhupada is writing, only in the ultimate issue, when there is no alternative, the nuclear weapon called the Brahmastra can be applied. So the word Vijatmaja is very significant here, because Ashwatthama, although the son of Dronacharya, was not exactly a qualified Brahmana. The most intelligent man is called a Brahmana, and it is not a hereditary title. Just because I am born in a Brahmana family, it does not make me a Brahmana. Ashwatthama was also formally called a Brahma Bandhu, or a friend of a Brahmana. Being a friend of a Brahmana does not mean that one is a Brahmana by qualification. A friend or a son of a Brahmana, when qualified, can be called a Brahmana, not otherwise. It's not your birthright. You got to be qualified. You got to have those qualities in order to be called as the son of the Brahmana. So we will see that Ashwatthama, he wants to give many lessons here. We will read a few more verses and get to those lessons. When he says that he wants to He has no other alternative than he is ready to use the Brahmastra. But the problem is, as we will read in text 20, Atopaspishya salilam andadhetat samahitah ajananati samharam pranakritra upasthite. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. So Prabhupada is writing down. And what weapons he has seen now is all growth. You know, they threw one bomb, everyone will die. But here this Brahmastra was so powerful. It was like a drone. It knew exactly where to go. It was much better than a drone. A drone also, it may hit other people. It hit the wrong people. So this Brahmastra knew exactly where to go. And the way to invoke them was very subtle, in chanting of mantras. Not by some big nuclear reactors and so many chandivars, so many experiments and so many things. Right? But now, see, Ashwatthama, he does not know how to withdraw that weapon. Right? Text 21. Tatra praduskritam teja prachandam sarvato disham tara pradam adhipreksya vishnum jishnum kubachaha. Thereupon, a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life in danger. And so, he began to address Lord Sri Krishna. So, just some comments on the last three verses that we read. The difference. So, Ashwatthama was the son of Dronacharya. The Pandavas and the Kauravas learned the military art from Dronacharya. Ashwatthama was jealous of the Pandavas. But Ashwatthama, in spite of being a son of such a great teacher, he did not know the military art very well. And he did not follow the principles very well. One thing is, as a Brahmana, he actually had the quality of forgiveness. That makes you a Brahmana. But he did not have that quality. Second thing is, he fights against the codes of religion. He kills after the war is over. The third thing is, he did not learn properly. He knew how to send a Brahmastra, but he did not know how to withdraw it. Now, we may also be having the best guru. We may be in the best association. We may be the best in all the best facilities. We may have heard all the lectures. We may have had the chance to do the best services and everything. Like Ashwatthama had all the opportunities, being son of Dronacharya. Access to the best spiritual education, everything. But just by having access to all of those things does not make us the best. For us to become the best, that is the best servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees, and still we will not be the best, is that we have to apply all of these things properly in our life. So here Ashwatthama was very immature, did not learn properly anything. Not that the facilities were same, but in fact more facilities were available for him because of his proximity as a son of Dronacharya than to the other people. But still he did not learn. So sometimes our disciples, as devotees, we feel, oh, you know, I don't feel very close to the leader of a temple, I'm very far. You know, maybe I need to get closer to him and then I can learn and all that. No, all that is not needed. Your sincerity is needed. So a good disciple is one who considers the general instruction to be a personal instruction. So Ashwatthama did not learn anything basically. Neither his character, neither his nature, neither his military art and science. Basically he was good for nothing. Right? So now, and also in the next verse in 20 we see, like another thing we want to learn not to do from Ashwatthama is, when we see we are in danger, what do we do? Suppose somebody is blaming me for something. They may be right, but I am not bold enough to accept my mistake, even to myself internally, what to speak of other people. What do I do? The best defense is offense. The best way to protect myself is to find fault with the other person. That's what Ashwatthama is doing. He wants to protect himself, so then he is putting the other person in danger. Right? He's not accepting, okay, this is, I made a mistake, I have to accept this. No. The best defense is offense. Is to find fault with the other person. Is to find them being the person who made the mistake instead of taking responsibility for our own self. So we cannot tolerate the fact that we are in danger. We cannot tolerate the fact that our name will get spoiled. So better to spoil somebody else's name. No, that's not how Vaishnavas behave. Vaishnavas have to develop these qualities of tolerance, forgiveness, and also thinking that if this is so painful for me, why should I put this pain on somebody else? Even if they have stooped down to the lowest level, why should I lose my character? Right? There are so many problems we encounter in day-to-day life. Somebody is insulting us, somebody is not understanding us properly, somebody is doing this to us, somebody is being passive-aggressive, somebody has been backbiting us for the last 1 year and we come to know because we lost some particular opportunity in life. Only then we came to know the whole history of this person has been backbiting. Right? Then we have a choice. We can stoop down to their level. We can also do the same thing. We can think, okay, we want to do this, it's okay. I will still be a loving person and I will still be nice to them. Because why should I lose my good qualities just because another person has lost their good qualities and is causing trouble to me? I'm not going to retaliate because Lord is watching everything. And I deserve all of these things that are coming to me. I deserve worse because the Lord is protecting me. But I am not going to lose my good qualities here. I'm not going to retaliate. So whether it could be your mother-in-law problem or your sister-in-law problem or co-sister-in-law problem. There's so many problems we have. Or it could be a problem at the workplace, problem with the children. I'm not going to lose my good qualities and my good character just because somebody else is behaving badly with me. So we have to try to follow this thing in our life. And we will see this in the example of the Pandavas. Right? And now, when Arjuna sees his own life in danger, you think Arjuna did not know how to release the Brahmastra? Arjuna knew, was the best archer. But you see the difference between Arjuna and Ashwatthama. When Ashwatthama's life was in danger, he releases the Brahmastra, he does not know how to, get back also, call back also. But here now you see Arjuna's life is in danger. Now, the game has changed. Ashwatthama was in danger, but now Arjuna is in danger. And you see the response that Arjuna has to that dangerous situation. So we have to learn from this. Text 22. Arjuna vacha Krishna Krishna Mahabaho Bhaktanam Vayankara Tvam Eko Dahyamananam Apavargoti Samshritehe. Arjuna said, "Oh my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material desires can find the path of liberation in you only." I'm not qualified to speak on all of these verses, but I do it as a service. I can't even understand this verse. No, his life is in danger, but he is praying to the Lord and he is glorifying the Lord and his qualities. Like Gajendra, Gajendra's life is in danger, but he is offering prayers to the Lord. Right? I will say, save me, help me. Or I will not even remember Krishna. I try to figure out something out of my own means. But this Arjuna's response here is really beyond me. And if somebody has nice comments on that, please feel free to share. Please share actually for our benefit. I find this particular mood really beyond me. So purport, we just read Prabhupada's purport. Arjuna was aware of the transcendental qualities of Lord Sri Krishna, as he had already explained them during the Kurukshetra war, in which both of them were present. Because the Bhagavad Gita Krishna spoke is transcendental quality. So Arjuna's version of Lord Sri Krishna is authoritative. So basically we should believe Arjuna. So he is still, Prabhupada is telling, because Arjuna has directly heard from Krishna. And if Arjuna is saying all these things in this verse, we have to believe Arjuna. Krishna is almighty and is especially the cause of fearlessness for the devotee. A devotee of the Lord is always fearless because of the protection given by the Lord. Material existence is something like a blazing fire in the forest, which can be extinguished by the mercy of the Lord Sri Krishna. The spiritual master is the mercy representative of the Lord. Therefore, a person burning in the flames of material existence may receive the rains of mercy of the Lord through the transparent medium of the self-realized spiritual master. The spiritual master, by his words, can penetrate into the heart of a suffering person and inject knowledge transcendental, which alone can extinguish the fire of material existence. So, no amount of our own endeavor to solve the problems is going to help. But it's only by the transcendental sound injected into our hearts by the spiritual master that can remove us from this fire. So here, Arjuna, here we all have this fear in our life. Many fears we have. You know, we may not be in this fear of life and death, but we have this fear that children should go to the best business school or whatever. Or if I don't do like this, then this person will do like this to me. Or, you know, we've gone through some situations in our life, so anytime we see anything matching with that previous situation, we associate with that, and then we become fearful, and then we have a very fearful response. This fear and its accompanying need to defend, like Ashwatthama was a fear and he defends himself, right? Releasing Anasura, releasing the Brahma. So this thing is there, you know, in all of us, and it is a core principle which are governing the material world. So every living entity is afraid. Everyone lacks security. So now we will see why is it that only Krishna can instill fearfulness, Arjuna is continuing. Text 23. Tvamadya Purusha Sakshat Ishwara Prakrate Para Mayam Vyudasya Chikchatya Kaivalya Thita Atmani. Translation. You are the original personality of Godhead, who expands himself all over the creation and is transcendental to material energy. You have cast away the effects of the material energy by dint of your spiritual potency. You are always situated in eternal bliss and transcendental knowledge. So basically, the material energy is under full control of the Lord. Krishna is more powerful than any illusion. He is basically the ultimate cause of all and resides eternally and fully in the spiritual realm, Goloka Vrindavan. So when he comes to the material world, it is only to give us association and to protect all of us. As he is telling, you expand yourself all over the creation. Basically, you are ascending down. Descending. But you are always transcendental to the material energy. So you are right now my chariot driver, and you are riding this chariot. You are driving this chariot for me. You are in this material world, but you are completely unaffected by it because you are always eternally in the spiritual realm. So basically, the fear that Arjuna is feeling is a fear suffered by every person caught in the illusion grip. If we have any fear, it is because we are caught in the grip of illusion. And then you know what happens? When we feel fearful, then we try to fix the problem because we don't want to feel fearful. Or we try to remove some people from the game. Or we try to retaliate to people because we are so fearful. So what we don't realize is no matter what we do, none of those things can solve our problem. Our problem is that we are identifying with material nature. And the only way we can come out of it is, as Vyasadeva saw, is by hearing about the Lord and engaging in devotional service to the Lord. So his text 24 is further glorifying. Saiva jiva lokasya maya mohita chetasaha vidaste svena viryena shreyo dharmadi lakshanam. And yet, though you are beyond the purview of the material energy, you execute the four principles of liberation, characterize the religion and so on, for the ultimate good of the conditioned soul. So he's telling, you are beyond the material nature, but you still do, you engage in all of these things, all of these different principles of religion and everything, just to set a good example for us. And because then we will also follow in your footsteps and it will be our benefit. Text 25. Tathayam chavataraste bhuvo bharaji hirshaya swanam chananya bhavanam anudhyanaya chasakrit. Asakrit. I love that word. It's very simple phrase also. Thus you descend as an incarnation to remove the burden of the world and to benefit your friends, especially those who are your exclusive devotees and are constantly wrapped in meditation upon you. So he's basically telling that I am in fear and everyone in this material world is in fear, but you are our cooling shelter. Your words, your activities, your pastimes, and you yourself in person are our cooling shelter. So, because through this verse he's telling, you come only to protect all of us and to benefit the friends and to especially those who are your exclusive devotees. And we will read that in the 8th chapter also. Kundi Devi says the same thing. And we read that in the Saturday evening programs also. Gajendra is also saying the same thing. Gajendra's impetus to pray in the difficulty to the Lord is because he says, I know you come to be the protector of your devotees and I know you will protect me also. I know I'm a fool, I'm an animal, I'm an ignorance, but I know you will protect me. So when we have that confidence in the Lord, Avaksha Rakshigo Krishna, these words are there in Nectar of Instruction for those of you who will sign up for that course. Avaksha Rakshigo Krishna. When we have that faith, then we become fearless. Then we are not thinking about gain and safety. oh, in this situation, what am I getting and what am I losing? Oh, so then this is my gain, and this situation I'm going to fear because I'll lose something. And then we remain stuck in that particular spiral of gain and safety, gain and safety, gain and safety. Once we understand Krishna consciousness, who we are, who Krishna is, and our duty is to serve Him, then we are out of all of these things. These modes, this material nature, this fear, this desires, all of these things are very, very entangling. And we are continuously threatened by this fire of suffering. So we have to come out of it. And the only way to come out of it is the cooling shelter of the Lord's lotus feet and the association and service of His devotees. Text 26. Kim idam sit kuto veti deva deva na vidnyam vidnyaham sarvato mukhamayati teja parama darunam. The Lord of Lords, how is it that this dangerous effulgence is spreading all around? Where does it come from? I do not understand this. So, purpose, anything that is presented before the personality of Godhead should be done so, should be so done after due presentation of respectful prayers. That is the standard procedure. And Sri Arjuna, although an intimate friend of the Lord, is observing this method for general information. Arjuna didn't have to offer all these things, but he is following the codes. So when we go and stand in front of the deities, Radha Krishna Prabhu told us, we should speak some shlokas in glorification of the deities. So Shloka is glorifying Lord Sri Krishna. And we should pray like that. And then maybe, you know, offer our personal prayer of where, you know, what we are needing or how we need His help to help us come out of this material conception of life. So we should also memorize some verses that we like that. That glorify the Supreme Personality of God. We can memorize what Arjuna has also spoken here. We can go and speak in front of the Lord whenever we go to Him. Text 27. Beautiful. Lord Sri Krishna's first words in Srimad Bhagavatam. Personal first words. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Himself, but His first words. Sri Bhagavad Uvacha Vetadam Drona Putrasya Brahmam Astram Tadarshitam Naiva Sauveda Samharam Pranabad Vada Upastite. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, know from me that this is the act of the son of Drona. He has thrown the hills of nuclear energy, Brahmastra, and he does not know how to retract the glare. He has helplessly done this, being afraid of imminent death. So basically, Krishna is telling where it has come. And in the middle of the purpose, the subtle science, or rather, we will read the whole purpose. The Brahmastra is similar to the modern nuclear weapon manipulated by atomic energy. The atomic energy works wholly on total combustibility, and so the Brahmastra also acts. It creates an intolerable heat, similar to atomic radiation. But the difference is that the atomic bomb is a gross type of nuclear weapon, whereas the Brahmastra is a subtle type of weapon produced by chanting mahims. It is a different science, and in the days gone by, such science was cultivated in the land of Bharat Varsha. The subtle science of chanting hymns is also material, which has yet to be known by the modern material scientists. Basically, by chanting of hymns, how you can manipulate material energy. Subtle material science is not spiritual, but it has a direct relationship with the spiritual method, which is still subtler. So Prabhupada is telling that even the science of chanting mantras to manipulate material energy is not spiritual. You know, all these mystic yogis, when they put their hand out, the apple will come, gold chain will come, ashes will come. So all this is, they have these siddhis. Through chanting of mantras, we can do all those things. But basically, it is a subtler science than the gross sciences that we study. But it is still material because they are only able to manipulate the material energy. These gross mantras don't help them come out of the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. So that's what Prabhupada is telling, that subtle material science is not spiritual, but it has a direct relationship with the spiritual matter, which is still subtler because they are still depending upon the Lord of higher power to help them in that. A chanter of hymns knew how to apply the weapon as well as how to retract it. That was perfect knowledge. But the son of Dronacharya, who made use of the subtle science, did not know how to retract. He applied it being afraid of his imminent death. And thus the practice was not only improper but also irreligious. As a son of a Brahmana, he should not have made so many mistakes. And for such gross negligence of duty, he was to be punished by the Lord Himself. Text 28. Mam kinchit astram satyavakarshanam jahyastra tejavunnadham Astrajna Hyastra Tejasaha. Oh, Arjuna, only another Brahmastra can counteract this weapon. Since you are expert at the military science, subdue this weapon's glare with the power of your own weapon. So? Because now that Brahmastra cannot be counteracted by Ashwatthama because he does not know how to get it back. So then Krishna is telling that the only way this can be counteracted is you release another Brahmastra, make it attack it, and then you bring back both to yourself and calm both down. See, Arjuna was a great warrior. He knew all this. If I release Brahmastra, then this will happen and I can counteract it. But he is still giving shelter of the Lord, not of his own abilities. Text 29. Sutta Vacha Shrutva Bhagavata Proktam Falguna Paraviraha Shprishta Vapastam Parikamya Brahmam Brahmasamam Tam Sangade. Sri Guru Swami said, hearing this from the personality of Godhead, Arjuna touched water for purification, and after circumambulating Lord Sri Krishna, he cast his Brahmastra weapon to counteract the other one. Text 30. Amhatyano Amhatyanyonyam Udayot Tejasi Sharasamrite Avritya Rodasi Khamcha Vavidhate Ka Mahivat. When the rays of the two Brahmastras combined, the great circle of fire, like the disk of the sun, covered all outer space and the whole firmament of planet. There was so much heat, though the two Brahmastras combined. There was so much heat, great circle of fire, like the disk of the sun, as big as the sun. Imagine the amount of heat. We can't even imagine. You know, the kind of thing that Arjuna is dealing with over there, the scope. It's not like, okay, some small fireball. No, it's like the fireball is as big as the sun. Right? Text 31. Drishtavastrastejasutayostrilokantradhanmahat Dahyamana praja sarva samvartakam amamsata. All the population of the three worlds was scorched by the combined heat of the weapons. Everyone was reminded of the samvartaka fire which takes place at the time of inhalation. So basically the annihilation is a fire that comes, so all the world goes away. So when they saw that fireball, so much heat, everyone would remember that. So, Prabhupada is writing down, all the populations on all the different planets began to feel the heat excessively and compared it to that of the Samvartaka clouds, fire. No planet therefore is without living beings, as a less intelligent materialistic mental. So there are living beings on all the planets. The Samvartaka heat was felt by all the planets. So this heat is also being felt by the inhabitants on other planets who compare it to the heat of the Samvartaka fire that happens at the end of annihilation. Gopal is saying there is life on the other planets just because all these material telescopes and all these scientists have not been able to figure out. Does not mean there is no life. There is life. Text 32. Prajopadravamalakshya lokavyatikaram tatam uchatam matam cha vasudevasya sanjahara arjunodvayam. Thus seeing the disturbance of the general populace and the imminent destruction of the planets, Arjuna at once retracted both Brahmastra weapons as Lord Sri Krishna desired. So because of this, all the destructed planets could be destroyed. But Arjuna was a responsible Kshatriya and he retracts both the Brahmastra weapon as desired by Lord Sri Krishna. So he is fulfilling. His life is about satisfying the Lord, fulfilling whatever the Lord wants, because that is the best thing. So, but now you see all these people, they put atomic bombs, but they don't think, you know, the population will be destroyed. You know, okay, they don't like some countries. In some countries, some people are doing wrong things, but why to bomb the entire country? Why innocent people are being killed? See, the science in the previous figures is very subtle. They knew how to send a weapon only to the person it was intended to. And they also knew, okay, now this is becoming harmful to everyone else, let me retract it. Now you cannot retract. Bomb means gone, finished. And Japan is, and America will still fight. Text 33. Tata asadyata sa darunam gautami sutam babandham arshatam raksa pash pashumra sanaya yatha. Arjuna, his eyes blazing in anger like two red balls of copper, dexterously arrested the son of Gautam and bound him with ropes like an animal. So basically, Arjuna was obliged to catch the son of a Brahmana like an animal as a part of his duty because, and we will see in a later statement by Lord Sri Krishna, but because he was one of the six aggressors that Topa described. Because people are deserved to can be killed, and even if they are Brahmanas, does not mean that they have to be, you can release them. No, they are wrong when they are wrong, because even if he was the son of a Brahmana, he had degraded himself to a lower status of life, and it was proper to treat him as an animal, because so irresponsible, not only did he kill in cold blood, but when he is releasing Brahmastra, does not know how to retract it. How irresponsible? Text 34. Shiviraya nidishantam rajva badvari pumbalat Rahajunam prukupito bhagavanam mujikshanaha. After binding Ashwatthama, Arjuna wanted to take him to the military camp. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, looking on with his lotus eyes, spoke to Arjuna in an angry mood. So now Arjuna is also angry, Lord Sri Krishna is also angry. See, what do you see the difference? Prabhupada writes down, Arjuna's eyes were like balls, red balls of copper, balls of red copper, burning copper. But the Lord Sri Krishna is angry, but his eyes are still like a lotus. You think the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, looking on with his lotus eyes, spoke to Arjuna in an angry mood. That means that the angry mood of Arjuna and that of the Lord are not at the same level. The Lord is transcendent and thus he is absolute at any stage. His anger is not like the anger of a conditioned living being within the modes of qualitative material nature. Because he is absolute, both his anger and pleasure are the same. His anger is not exhibited in the three modes of material nature. We get angry because we want to retaliate. Lord is not angry because he is affected by somebody else. He uses anger also for betterment. It is only a sign that of his bent of mind towards the cause of his devotee, because that is his transcendental nature. See, somebody does something to him, the Lord does not get angry. But somebody does something to hurt his devotee, the Lord can't take it. So therefore, even if he is angry, the object of anger is blessed. He is unchanged in all circumstances. Like you see, in the Gajendra Moksha pastime, the Lord comes to save Gajendra. Even the crocodile is blessed. Crocodile is also blessed. Right? Now, we will read the remaining verses next week. I just wanted to share one very quickly one story. I was reading Krishna book day before yesterday in the night. And I was reading the story of Rukmini and how Rukmini writes a letter to the Lord that you please come. You know, my marriage has been fixed, but I want to marry you. I see you as my husband, very attractive to you. So you please come and take me from here. So she writes a letter and she explains to him everything, how he has to come, where she will be going, at what time she will be going to the temple to worship. So then from there he should come and take her. So she sends a letter with a Brahmana, an elder Brahmana. So when the Brahmana goes to meet Lord Sri Krishna, then immediately Lord Sri Krishna gets up. Lord Sri Krishna is the king of Dwarka. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the controller, proprietor, enjoyer of everything. The most respecting personality. But when he sees the Brahmana enter, Lord Sri Krishna immediately gets up. And he worships the Brahmana. He offers him a nice place to sit. He offers him nice foodstuffs to drink. He offers him nice things to eat. He washes his feet and everything. Then he gives him a proper room to rest. And then when the Brahmana is resting in the room, the Krishna book describes that when the Brahmana is resting after all of these things, because he's come so tired from all the way from Vidarbha to Dwarka, basically from like Nagpur, central Maharashtra, to Gujarat. He's very tired on that journey of the horses and the chariot and everything. So the Brahmana is resting. So when the Brahmana is resting, the Lord very silently enters that room and he sits on the bed near the feet of the Brahmana, starts massaging the Brahmana's feet. Are we amazed? And this is how much the Lord wants to serve and love his devotees. And especially those, the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas who have devoted their lives to his cause. And the Lord had already given all types of respect and everything properly, had already done it, you know, according to the social codes. And this is the Lord's heart. This is how the Lord feels towards his intimate devotees, towards the Brahmanas, towards the towards his own devotees. And this is the greatness and the sweetness of the Lord that we find attractive. In spite of him being in such a powerful position, he takes pleasure in massaging Brahmana's feet while the Brahmana is taking rest. Very amazing. We will continue reading next on Tuesday, the following verses. Is there anything anyone would like to share on conference call or on Skype? Please go ahead. Anything from anyone? I know Shalini Talwar Mataji and Amutha Mataji are on the call, and I heard a few more beats. And we have Anukriti, Shweta, and Madhavi Tatti on conference. So Shweta dropped out, looks like, but she was there for some time. Who all are there on the call, and would you like to share anything?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Nisha here.
Hare Bol, Nisha. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. I actually missed the first part of your seventh chapter on Tuesday. I hope that I could go back and see your notes, and thereby. But then it was really insightful, this one, and it was even more special because the first time Lord Himself is speaking. And thank you. It was really nice.
Thank you so much. Bhagavatam is amazing. And we're fortunate to read it with each other. Really amazing.
Yes,
so many lessons.
Yes.
So many lessons. Just one thing.
First, yes, Mother.
Can apply.
Yes.
Yes, anyone else? Who else is there on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Rupali Mataji. This is Anamit.
Okay, so we have Rupali Mataji, Anamika Mataji. Thank you for joining. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Hetal Mataji,
Hetal Mataji. Oh, Hetal Mataji and Sarita Mataji. Last time when I was not able to recall Hetal Mataji's name, I was thinking Nehal Mataji. For some reason. That was close, it was still a Gujarati name.
It's my husband's name, Mataji.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes, that was close, very close. Not only was it a Gujarati name, but it was a part of the same family. Thank you for joining, and thank you, Sarita Mataji, for joining as well. Who else? Any comments or any points you would like to share on Arjuna's qualities, Lord Sri Krishna's bhakti-vatsal nature? Like, I don't even know how to speak on it. Anything you know that has touched your heart, that you heard somewhere, please share. So that all of our love and devotion for Lord Shri Krishna increases by hearing you.
We get lost, Mataji. When you're teaching, our faith keeps increasing. We keep imagining Arjuna's devotion and Krishna's love for his devotees. So it's very inspiring. As of now, this is my state, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Very well said. So just by seeing Arjuna's faith in Lord Krishna, it increases our own devotion. Amazing. Yeah, that's so nicely said. Thank you so much for saying that. Anyone else? Anything? Or we will end this call. Yantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bhum.
No, call me one.